It is a terrible ordeal to be betrayed. We'll talk about that this hour.
This is a larger battle. Our battle is your battle. Our victory is your victory. And if we don't have a victory, this will have enormous implications for American security, for our common future. So we must win.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan spends the hour with Michelle Bachman, discussing a couple of timely issues and concerns. There is one issue that could be contributing to the rapid decline of America, and it has to do with foreign policy. Here is today's uninterrupted programming.
I just want to cause you to stop and think about this for a moment. March 25th is this abstention vote in the UN, really an unprecedented vote by the United States. At 1:30 in the morning, the next day on March the 26th, the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapses, really sending shockwaves through our country. Now, we can ask the question, is this coincidence or is this providence? Well, there's nothing in the Bible that tells us that directly, so I can't say 100% that this was God's action of discipline or judgment on America. But it's difficult not to see some kind of connection here, I think. Jimmy Evans has had a guest on his program often here at endtimes.com, a man named Bill Koenig. Bill's a close friend of mine as well. And he wrote a book years ago called The Eye of the Storm. And he chronicles in that book and highlights dozens of connections between actions in the U.S. against Israel and then disasters, many of them natural disasters in the United States. And of course, he takes this all the way back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, where God says, the one who blesses Israel, I will bless. But then it's very emphatic, but the one who curses you, I must curse. What we see today with the United States in this kind of withering support for Israel could be an upping of God's judgment and discipline on America. In the midst of all these things we've seen, the speech by Senator Schumer, the comments by Vice President Kamala Harris, the abstention vote in the UN. With all that happening at the same time, there's this continuing call for a two-state solution as well. They're calling on Israel to have a two-state solution with a nation next to them that wants all the land from the river to the sea, wants them wiped off the face of the earth and won't even ever acknowledge their right to even exist as a nation. So one thing we can be sure of in all of this is that America's growing rift with Israel is serious for the United States. It could be, again, part of the scenario that's speeding the demise of America. It could be part of the reason that America is not mentioned in Bible prophecy. There's all kinds of things in America today, our burgeoning debt, our weakening support for Israel, all the people that are coming into our country, we don't know who they are, that could bring all kinds of terror into our nation, even bringing dirty bombs into our country that could devastate our nation. And I think ultimately, I've mentioned this before, that I think God's final judgment on America will be the rapture, when the Lord Jesus comes and all the salt and light is extracted out of this country in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There are a lot of plausible scenarios, but it could also be all these things kind of happening and converging at the same time, kind of a convergence of these events that will bring America down.
And welcome to the program, and thank you, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, for setting the stage for me in your comments. America abandoned Israel? Did America not play a defensive role in the Iranian attack on Israel a week ago? She did, but reluctantly. But remember, America has directly and indirectly poured over $100 billion into Iran in a failed appeasement policy. This was the largest drone attack ever, 350 launches of just about everything, including ballistic missiles. Some of the equipment was thankfully outdated, but almost all of the drones and missiles, 99% in fact, were shot down by Israel and her allies. Interestingly, Saudi Arabia and Jordan were allies last week. Not a single UAV and not a single cruise missile penetrated Israeli territory. Yes, Israel's Iron Dome, David Sling, and Aero Defense System is the very best, but always remember, it is God who is her protector. Israel keeps God up at night. Psalm 121, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Iran knew that the U.S. would protect Iran and try to prevent Israel from attacking back. That is exactly why Iran was bold enough to attack to begin with. I'm giving a quote from Amir Safadi on his Telegram. He'll be with me here in just a few weeks. He says, quote, "It is clear that the Iranian attack was coordinated with the American administration. It is likely that the Iranians gave a warning that they were going to attack, and the U.S. assured them that it would not allow an Israeli response. The Biden administration, in the most monstrous way, continues to see Iran as an asset with which agreements must be reached," close quote. Joel Rosenberg says the prospect of a much worse war, even an apocalyptic and prophetic war, erupting very soon is very real and growing more and more likely. I'm now going to air an interview I did with Michelle Bachmann. It is pre-recorded due to her schedule and was pre-recorded the day before the Iranian attack. All of the content is very relevant, but the comments concerning what Iran did on April 14th are limited to these comments I have made as an introduction to this program. We'll stay on top of things in the coming weeks as possible. Here's my interview now with Michelle Bachmann. Every few months, I like to bring on air Michelle Bachmann, longtime personal friend, friend of this ministry as well. She served in U.S. Congress representing Minnesota's 6th District from 07 to 2015, ran for president in 2012. She's presently dean of the Robertson School of Government, Regent University in Virginia. And she's one of the best commentators on our times that I know of, tremendous friend of Israel as well. And let me just say that we are watching the collapse, dare I say, the implosion of the United States-Israel relations, thanks in part to the American left, led by our White House and State Department. The Biden-Blinken team has pounded one of America's best allies, Israel, for weeks to months, going as far as to demand Israel's military lose the war to the brutal Hamas thugs. Recently, almost 40 Democrats demanded that America halt weapons sent to Israel due to civilian casualties in Gaza. And in all of the condemnation of Israel, what is so staggering to me is the October 7th massacre of 1,200 Israelis. It's seldom even referenced. It's as though it's been forgotten. And the fact that Israel must ensure that this never happens again is never stated. And unless she destroys the terrorist enclaves in Gaza and Lebanon, it will happen again. Why? Because Hamas and Hezbollah have so stated, and they have not given up their goals of the destruction of the state of Israel. So there are terrible consequences to America when we put this kind of pressure on God's covenant land to surrender to her enemies. So when the terrible vote came in the UN back on March 25th and the American vote jeopardized Israel. Again, we saw that prominent bridge in Baltimore collapse the next day. And then when Biden and Blinken roared with rage against Israel some 10 days ago, we saw the stock market drop 500 points in one day. I could go on with many illustrations, and I will discuss other issues of relevance with Michelle this hour. Michelle, welcome back to the studio. So glad you can join me in rather sobering times.
It is. This is an apex for the United States making the most detrimental decisions we could make against Israel, but against ourselves, because Genesis 12:13 is clear that we bring a curse upon ourselves. And we are sobered as we're at these microphones today because we are looking at the United States. You had referenced the Baltimore Bridge. We also had the earthquake in New York City, at 4.8 on the Richter scale. It was the worst earthquake in 240 years. My daughter was working in Midtown Manhattan when it happened, and she related what that was like. The epicenter was White House Station in New Jersey, and also the Trump golf course, Bedminster. So it's interesting that that was the epicenter, that it was at 4.8. Israel became a nation in 1948. And that it seems to me that this is a warning to the United States that we need to wake up, that two political candidates need to wake up and pay attention. What will their view of Israel be? And again, we cannot forget that in the book of Joel, it is very clear the most consequential judgment that a nation can have is how does a nation treat Zion? And if a nation seeks to separate or divide a land or divide Jerusalem, they themselves will be under judgment.
Yes.
And so both President Trump and President Biden need to pay attention.
Michelle, you and I have talked for a lot of years behind these microphones, over 15 years. You've spoken at several of my conferences, both in Eden Prairie and in Brooklyn Park. I don't think I can think of a time, perhaps over 20 years ago, 9/11 was a trauma to America, and certainly even the whole world was shocked by that. But since then, I can't think of a time that's more serious, more stressful than what we're going through here in the last 6 months to a year. And I think you would agree with me that this is going on all over the world, but I just want to focus on America right now and what we're doing to our number one ally in the Middle East, and maybe one of our top five allies in the world. And we're turning the screws into her and pounding her at every opportunity. Not everybody, but certainly those on the left in Washington.
Well, we've never seen this happen before because it hasn't happened before. Since 1948, whether Democrat or Republican, politically, this was a bipartisan issue. Israel was supported both by Democrat and Republican. As a matter of fact, the Jewish population in the United States voted Democrat for 76 years because of Harry Truman bravely recognizing the Jewish state 11 minutes after she was created. So the Jews have been strongly Democratic. And now we are seeing a shift with the White House, with the president and the vice president, with the leading Jew in the United States, which would be Chuck Schumer, the head of the United States Senate, with our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, with Nancy Pelosi, who's essentially the head of the House of Representatives as far as the Democrats are concerned. She's the one that the Democrats look to, not Hakeem Jeffries, as well as others within the administration. They all came out one after another just in this last 2 weeks, and they've come one by one to condemn Israel and to tell Israel, you're going to lose this war. You're going to pull back. They've gone so far as to embrace and move from Team Israel to Team Hamas, and what's worse, the Democrat Party has embraced Team Iran. And the goal of Iran is very clear. The Ayatollah made it very clear himself when he wrote his book in 2015. He said, if Muslims and Palestinians unite and fight, the Zionist regime will not be in existence in 25 years. He wrote that, and he means it. Benjamin Netanyahu said, I believe the sincerity of the Ayatollah, knowing that no statement has changed, that even we just saw they were screaming death to America, death to Israel. The Democrats apparently think that the Ayatollahs are insincere. I do not. I think they're completely sincere. They're following Islamic law, and they believe that within a very short period of time, they will realize their dream of killing every Jew in Israel and taking over the land.
It's staggering. You and I talking about this right now, it's mind-blowing. When Barack Hussein Obama became president 15 years ago, U.S. policy suddenly became anti-Israel, pro-Iran. I can't wrap my brain around this. They call America the great Satan. They're screaming death to America, death to Israel at every opportunity. And yet we began immediately rewarding them with not millions, but billions and billions of dollars from Barack Hussein Obama, followed by Joe Biden.
Yes, Barack Obama gave the Iranians $150 billion. Yeah. That was the initial payment. And then, of course, policy changes that were in Iran's favor, and then dropping pallets of cash on the ground for the Ayatollahs. He did everything that he could. I sat on the Intelligence Committee at the time, and we knew behind the scenes that Iran was flat on its back. It was gasping for air. The Ayatollah terror regime was about to collapse. And so it was Barack Obama who came and on his own gave them $4 billion just so they could breathe. So he did that, and then we all saw what happened. And then Donald Trump came along. We were no longer pro-Iran. He eviscerated the Iran agreement, which was meant to give a nuclear program to Iran under Barack Obama. But now we're back in bigger business than we ever were before. And so from day one under Joe Biden, rhetorically and to the public, he wanted to appear that he was on Team Israel, but he was really on Team Iran. And he's been on Team Iran ever since. And remember, out of the mouths of the Ayatollah in his famous book called Palestine, out of his mouth, he said, we will be the victorious one. The United States won't come after us militarily, he said. And once we have the bomb, Israel won't come after us militarily. So we will bring death to the United States. We will bring death to Israel. His leading generals have said the same. They have not deviated. Iran has been consistent. So yes, we are talking about Hamas, which is on the western border of Israel, who brought about this devastation October 7th. We're talking about Hezbollah. We're talking about Syria. We're talking about Jordan. We're actually talking about Israel. We're talking about Samaria, Judea, where there's a huge population of ginned up, ready to fight members of the Palestinian Authority. So on every corner, Israel is about to be attacked. But who is it by? It's about Iran. Because each one of these proxy groups is working with Iran for one goal. That's to kill the Jews and to take their land. Again, something that seems absolutely impossible. But they believe in this concept called Inshallah, which means if God wills. They look at the stupid decisions that the West is making right now when Biden has called for a ceasefire, when Australia insults and reprimands Israel, when the United Kingdom is withholding ammunition, when the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, says we won't provide ammo to Israel, when the European Union foreign minister is castigating Israel, when Iran sees that the West is pulling its support from Israel, they say, Inshallah, Allah is bringing this to us. We will be victorious. So right now, the signal that's going all over the Islamic world is victory is at the door, and they will realize the end goal of the Islamic scripture of the Quran, which is the 12th Imam is at the door, and their Messiah will come. They believe they're on the threshold of conquering the whole earth, and the actions of President Biden are bringing about the thought in the mind of the Ayatollah that every decision he's making to destroy Israel is the right decision.
But I think we need to clarify, Michelle, the American people are standing by Israel, by and large.
By the majority.
Congress, too, by majority.
They are pro-Israel. Yeah. But this shows you the importance of a presidential election, because a president calls the shots on foreign policy. And law hasn't constricted Joe Biden. This has been a lawless administration, in my opinion.
Yes.
So we are seeing lawless actions taken, actions that are to the detriment of the United States, of Israel, yes, but of the United States, because we are reaping what we are sowing.
If you just joined me, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. Have in studio Michelle Bachman. She joins me several times a year to give a rundown on what's going haywire and what's going right. Things particularly emanating out of Washington. Michelle, I want to play a real quick clip here. It's CBN News, because they are summarizing what you and I are talking about, and that is the U.S. policy towards Israel that has gone haywire in the last 3 years. And remember, the current administration, following an administration that was incredibly a blessing to Israel.
Israel moved to get more aid into Gaza by opening up a key port and a crossing into northern Gaza. This comes after President Biden told Prime Minister Netanyahu that U.S. policy toward Israel will change unless the Israeli military does more to protect aid workers and deals with the humanitarian situation in Gaza.
With respect to Gaza, we need to see certain changes. And if we don't, then we'll have to consider changes to our own policy. But it's not about leverage.
Biden also told Netanyahu he wants a ceasefire deal without delay.
He underscored as well that an immediate ceasefire is essential to stabilize and improve the humanitarian situation and protect innocent civilians. And he urged Prime Minister Netanyahu to empower his negotiators to conclude a deal without delay.
But there are still big differences between Israel and Hamas, as Hamas wants the war to end immediately with a complete Israeli pullout from Gaza. So some argue a ceasefire could mean losing the war. Jeff Balaban, who leads the American Center for Law and Justice's Israel operations from Jerusalem, told CBN News a ceasefire would have dire consequences for Israel.
The implications for that is that America has now completely become Israel's tactical enemy. In real terms, in practical terms, this is impossible. That is demanding that Israel lose this war. Israel cannot afford to lose this war. This is an existential war.
Netanyahu also maintains Israel must win its war against terrorist forces for the sake of the U.S. and the rest of the West.
This is a larger battle. Our battle is your battle. Our victory is your victory. And if we don't have a victory, this will have enormous implications for American security, for our common future. So we must win.
In his call with Netanyahu, Biden expressed outrage over Israel's accidentally killing of 7 aid workers in Gaza on Monday. But American conservatives point out the U.S. also killed civilians with the drone strike during Biden's chaotic pullout from Afghanistan in 2021.
I am now convinced that as many as 10 civilians, including up to 7 children, were tragically killed in that strike.
Meanwhile, Blinken is taking heat for suggesting Israel could become like Hamas if it doesn't do more to reverence life in Gaza.
That's our strength. It's what distinguishes us from terrorists like Hamas. If we lose that reverence for human life, we risk becoming indistinguishable from those we confront.
The latest disagreement between the White House and Israel comes as Israelis from all political viewpoints increasingly believe their country stands alone in the world.
Michelle Bachmann, it seems to me a turning point was the accidental killing of these 7 aid workers, and that seemed to ignite the world. It was already having a leftist meltdown over Israel, demonstrating in every major capital of the world. But when these 7 aid workers were killed, I think it went to another level.
That was the inflection point when we went from negative remarks just from Joe Biden in the White House and Harris. So it wasn't just the administration, but that was the inflection point when the entire Democrat Party turned against Israel. Again, remember, 76 years the Democrat Party had been pro-Israel. And in that moment, the Democrat Party made their choice and they decided that they would be anti-Israel, because to call on Israel to have a ceasefire means that they're calling on Israel to pull back and lose the war. Remember, 240 hostages were taken, stolen from Israel. 1,200 innocent elderly women, babies, men were murdered, slaughtered in the most barbaric action that the world had seen. So when the United States says you have to cease fire, why is it that Israel was told to cease fire? Why wasn't Hamas told to cease fire? Hamas has fired rockets every day since this war began. I just returned from Israel.
Yes.
I was standing at the Nova Festival where October 7th happened that morning. I was down visiting kibbutzes. I was with the IDF soldiers. I was hearing the bombs dropping when I was there. So every day, rockets are fired by Israel's enemies. And the number one knowledge that people in Israel have is that the next step is they realize they've got to end this war in Gaza because they have their next one waiting for them.
That's
coming from the north.
They know
that they're going to be fired upon by Syria, Hezbollah, and they've got to be prepared. This battle could be done. In less than 3 weeks, Gaza could be finished if Joe Biden would stop handcuffing Israel. He's not only handcuffing, now he's ordering them to lose. So once they lose, this ensures that there will be more October 7th sooner than anybody realizes, because that's what Joe Biden is doing. Now he's put the United States and the West on the camp of Team Iran. I know that's very difficult for the audience to believe, but he has chosen to advance Iran's goals. All of Iran's satellites are surrounding Israel, and they're coming for the purpose of ending the Jewish state, including in Samaria and Judea. The Palestinian Authority, they already have weapons. Jordan's queen has come out against Israel. There are 30,000 troops from Iraq who could traverse through Jordan into Samaria, into Judea for the world's greatest slaughter. At this level of difficulty for Israel, this is the point that Joe Biden chose to have the United States say to Israel at their most vulnerable moment, we're backing off, baby.
Yeah.
Not only are you on your own, we're feeding you to the wolves. That's what the United States did in our betrayal. We are feeding Israel to the wolves because the wolves are salivating, standing around Israel in a vulnerable, compromised situation, saying, we're ready to pounce on our time when we're ready.
I have in front of me an article I want to read three paragraphs from. It's Joel Rosenberg's All Israel News, excellent online newspaper, titled Israel Finally Going It Alone with God. Bear with me, folks, as I read just a few lines. What do you do when those who were considered your best friends abandon you in your greatest time of need? Unless you're an atheist, you turn to God, knowing that all human resources have been exhausted. While most of us at one point or another have found ourselves alone, feeling as if we had dwindling support, it usually didn't impact whether or not we lived to see another day. But in the case of Israel, being forced to go it alone may be the best thing that ever happened to the Jewish homeland, because now it demands that God enter the picture. When the predictable news came the other day that the UN Security Council had voted for an immediate ceasefire to take place as it relates to the Gaza war, no one was surprised, because it was for what they'd been clamoring all along. But when the U.S. decided to abstain and not veto the decision, that was when we knew that we had officially been abandoned by those who promised they'd never do so. Then the author concludes, the abandonment of Israel by every nation was predicted thousands of years ago by the Jewish prophet Zechariah, who starts out his last chapter detailing exactly how that final battle will come down. And while we may not be there yet, the sides are being taken as one by one, all of our reliable allies are evaporating faster than a drop of water on a hot stove. Israel has no choice. We are now fighting this battle without the nation's support, but we are far from alone, because if God is by our side, what chance does anyone really stand? I think the important thing there, Michelle, is the biblical perspective. The prophet Zechariah 12, says Israel will become the world's burdensome stone. She will be despised by everyone. Now, that's ultimately fulfilled in the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble. But we're in a run-up to that, and so we're seeing the stage begin to be set from a prophetic perspective, and that is Zechariah 12's prophecy is now in play. It's been in play for decades, but now it's really in motion. And from that standpoint, it's exciting, but it's still heartbreaking to have to watch.
Well, it is. The Bible, in many ways, is a heartbreaking story because of sin. Beginning from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, the Bible is about the fact that God created man and the world and put us in a perfect place, but we chose sin rather than obedience. And so the Bible is a story replete with sin and God's plan of redemption through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, ultimately through King David, and then through Jesus, the Messiah, who died once for all. Every Iranian Arab, every member of Hamas has the ability to be saved and come to the Lord and be redeemed. It is not a suicide vest that will bring them to heaven. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice lamb, who will do that. But we are in the most prophetic hour of our lifetime, when the knowledge of the Word of God is the most necessary ingredient that we have. And it is why we need the pulpits to be aflame,
yes,
with preaching the entire counsel of God, in particular what the Bible says about this moment. I cannot encourage pastors enough to begin a series about this moment that we're in. Their congregation needs to understand this prophetic moment, because the United States, again, as we saw with the earthquake, as we saw the collapse of the Baltimore Bridge, ultimately God is the one who knows what his judgments are. But we know the Bible tells us that his judgments are altogether righteous. We reap what we sow. When we are cursing Israel in quantifiable ways, and that's what the United States is doing, that's what Europe is doing, that's what Canada is doing, we never thought we would see the West come to this point, but we have. Just as the article stated, where every nation has turned its back. That's where we are. Unless there are some small African nations that haven't yet turned their back, the large consequential nation, the United States, has. And again, what we need to understand for us, that means we are at peril. We have lost our position of strength. It's just like Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address when he said, Do we delude ourselves with the thought that we gained our own prosperity, that we gained our own peace? Not at all. It's God who gave it to us. We need to understand, as the United States in 2024, we aren't the world's leading power because of anything we did. It's been the hand of God and His blessing upon us. As quickly as God gave us the blessing in the United States, that's how quickly we could say it all dissolved. So we are not in a posture of blessing. We're in a very different posture. And that's why, beloved, we are here in an election year. And I'm not talking Republicans, Democrats now. I'm talking about what the Bible says to nations, not just the United States, all nations. He talks about the posture of blessing and the posture of cursing. And tragically, the current administration and a current political party in America has chosen cursing. So it is also a warning to the Republicans and to our nominee, Donald Trump. Where are we going to be? Are we going to follow Joel chapter 3? Are we going to not seek to separate the land? Are we going to not seek to scatter the people from the land? Are we going to respect the Jewish way of life, which is essentially following the Torah? That's what Joel chapter 3 says. It says, every nation will be brought to the valley of decision, and they will be judged based upon that. Right now, the United States of America has chosen the place of judgment, the place of cursing. And so in this lead up to this next election, knowing that the leaders of the Democrat Party have made that choice, it behooves us to question those who are the candidates. Will you put the United States back in a place of blessing or a place of cursing? I don't know what the Lord's hand will be that He deals for us. We saw very rapid consequences. As Bill Koenig has rightly written in Eye to Eye, we have the evidence. America has received consequences, generally speaking, within about 24 hours of cursing or blessing. As we are watching what the White House is doing, we are in a place of cursing, and we'll see going forward what comes forth. But this has high consequences, and that's why it's imperative that we pray. We've had a number of your listeners join us for 40 days yes. of prayer and fasting at Regent University. I'm Dean of the Robertson School of Government. I want to invite everyone on this call to join us again. We're going to be starting this again. If you joined us in prior years, you don't have to sign up. We've got you on our email list, and we'll let you know all the information. But we're going to start September 2nd. That's our first date. And then we're going to go into October for 40 days of prayer and fasting. Our nation needs this prayer and fasting in the lead up to this election, but we also pray for Israel every day. And the purpose is teshuvah. It's on the biblical calendar. It's about returning to the Lord. And that's what the saints are called to do. So we're exploring right now at Regent University, in response to all of the anti-Semitism, wild hate for Israel. We're exploring starting an Israel Institute this fall so that we can be a part of sharing the truth about Israel with other college campuses all across the United States. We want students and college campuses to understand the blessing of supporting Israel. But we want you to sign up because probably the most hopeful thing any believer can do is return to the Lord, to the word of the Lord, to get on our knees and fasting and pray and cry out for our country, cry out for our families, cry out for Israel. And with this consequential election, we need to be united under His purposes.
So here's how you sign up, folks. Send an email to pray@regent.edu. That's an email to pray@regent.edu. If you just joined me, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell here in studio. Michelle Bachman, Dean of the Robertson School of Government, Regent University in Virginia. Bring her into the studio 4 or 5 times a year for a current event update and perspective on the news that I think no one can quite share like Michelle does. She represented Minnesota's 6th District in Congress from 2007 to 2015. Many of you remember she ran for president in the year 2012. Michelle, do you ever reflect back on 2012 and wish you were back in that routine of campaigning and meeting all the people across America?
A That's a joy to meet all the people across America. And it was a joy to be there. The Lord called me to run for president that year, not because I thought that I had a chance to win, but I was very concerned about Iran getting a nuclear weapon.
Exactly.
And now we see that today the Democrat Party has joined in the aims and goals of Iran. They are in the process of seeking a nuclear weapon. And I would ask this question, who in the Biden administration is paying attention to what Iran is doing? Who in the Biden administration is going on offense against Iran? What is the Biden administration doing to protect the United States against a nuclear bomb from Iran? What are they doing to protect us defensively, but also on offense? Why in the world isn't the United States, knowing what Iran just announced, they're opening up a new plant for a nuclear facility? Why aren't we drawing up a military plan to take out every single one of those nuclear power plants? Why aren't we aiding our ally Israel? Why aren't we moving in the directory of victory for Israel rather than in the direction of defeat for Israel and victory for Iran? I know that's a harsh statement I just made, Jan, but we need to understand right now the White House is moving to defeat Israel and to hand victory to Iran. How insane can you be when they have just been screaming death to Israel, death to the United States, they mean it? That means death to the United States. Why would the White House work hand in glove to bring that about? That's how consequential this moment is, and I pray that we get to the November election so that Christians can make their voice heard.
It's because we're in the last days. You know my saying, what did you think the last days would look like? Wouldn't look like a Sunday school picnic at all. Be times of great turmoil, great perilous times. And Michelle, I think Israel will not think twice about taking out nuclear reactors herself if she has to. She's really left with no choice.
Israel will do what she has to do.
Absolutely.
Because Israel means life, and they will never give up fighting. I was in a private meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu once when I was in Congress, urging him to do exactly that. It's very difficult. The planes have to stop for refueling.
That's right.
It's a long way.
That's exactly
and they
right.
don't have all their nuclear reactors together. They're spread out.
They're underground.
It's very difficult. Yeah. So it would take the hand of God to bring this about. But imagine the blessing the United States would have if we would be in partnership to end this threat against Israel. We are not. And imagine if we were, the blessing that would come to us. We're experiencing judgment now, but this is only an appetizer for the judgment that could come as we aid and abet nuclear's chief enemy that seeks the destruction of the Jewish state.
Michelle Bachman, we are in a generation where we're watching biblical prophecy be fulfilled on a regular basis.
Yes.
We've just had some activity in Damascus. Israel had to make a strike in Damascus.
Yes.
It was one building, whereas Isaiah 17 says that Damascus will be obliterated someday in the future. My hunch is Israel will have to do that at some point in time. We don't know when. We're seeing the alignment of Gog and Magog being set up.
Yes.
We're seeing America in decline. We're no longer a world leader. We're seeing many, many churches in decline. Some are in apostasy. And I know you made a call for pastors to please step up and talk about some of these things in a prayerful manner, at least inform their congregation about some of the issues we're talking about. And some are, and I'm very encouraged to say some are. And yet I have had hundreds of emails saying my church will not talk about anything that we're discussing at this point in time. Many churches choose to remain silent. And we have CBDCs, the cashless system, on the horizon.
Yes.
I believe it's now active in Australia, some other places as well. All I'm saying is we're in a time of incredible history-making from a biblical perspective, which is all you and I really care about is the biblical perspective.
Yes.
And you have referenced Iran many, many times in this hour. Remember, folks, she plays a major role in the Ezekiel 38-39 scenario. Turkey, Russia, Iran, some other players will be coming against Israel at that time in a major war.
And all of those nations oppose Israel today.
Absolutely.
They're in league today
Absolutely.
In opposition.
I'm going to play a clip of you, Michelle. We're going back a year here when you were in Switzerland to the World Health Organization.
Yes.
It's coming up again in a month. I want to revisit what you said a year ago and how it might play out today.
The attempted power grab described by Bachmann involves the World Health Organization, or WHO. Through a series of 307 amendments and a global pandemic treaty, the WHO seeks to gain authority over health decisions of UN member nations that could affect the rest of the world in the case of something like another COVID pandemic.
Then they would be empowered to tell us in America, we have to lock down, we have to shut down, we have to close our churches, we have to close our schools. We're forced, mandated to take a vaccine, whether we want to or not. We're forced to mask. We're forced to whatever it is that they tell us that we have to do. We have never before in history, in 5,000 years of recorded human history, we've never seen this level of authority given to an international global body.
Those supporting this authority for the WHO, such as top advisor Dr. Abdullah Asiri, say it's necessary to protect the world's population, even if it means restricting some of their liberties. Bachmann sees little to no opposition from nations' top leaders in handing over this power starting next year.
I don't think all the nations fully understand what these implications are, so we have very little time.
Some in Congress oppose this move to further empower the WHO. They've proposed legislation that would deem it a treaty. A treaty would require Senate approval. Bachmann, however, claims the White House is trying an end run around these lawmakers.
The Biden administration doesn't plan to bring this treaty back to the U.S. Senate because they're using a subterfuge. They're calling it not a treaty, they're calling it an accord. And they're saying, this isn't a treaty, this is just an accord, we can do this, we don't need the involvement of the U.S. government. But once you give government and power away, it's very hard to get it back.
The former congresswoman points out the Bible warns world-dominating power will bring trouble.
When you look at what the Bible says and the convergence of events that we are seeing across the world right now and what the prophets from the Bible have said, we need to really pay attention to what's going on because this is the creation of a platform for global government.
So, Michelle Bachmann, what you're saying basically in that little three-minute clip was the World Health Organization, and this was a year ago, May of last year, you were there and you observed their wheeling and dealing, trying to get their platform of what World Health Organization is trying to do for pandemic treaty, etc. And now it's coming up in a month. Help us understand what's going on and what are the dangers to my listeners.
The World Health Assembly is the governance body over the World Health Organization.
Yes.
And nobody cared who they were, what they did. People assumed they were just a group of doctors trying to do the best that they could to stamp out diseases and to create immunities. Well, then along came COVID.
Yep.
And so when COVID happened, that increased the visibility and the power of the World Health Organization like nothing we'd ever seen before, because governments all of a sudden had dictatorial authoritarian power over their citizenry. Here in the United States, we had suspension of our constitutional rights for 3 years, and governors and mayors and the president of the United States declared emergency powers, which suspended our rights as citizens, mm-hmm. but empowered them to tell us to do things they could have never done without emergency powers. Well, now the Biden administration wants to transfer emergency powers to the World Health Organization on a global scale. So that now that would effectively create a platform for one world government,
right.
for global government. So the World Health Organization, which people saw was very effective and created authoritarian power, could now be created permanently, a permanent emergency, if you will, so that this platform for global governance could trigger at any time of their choosing emergency powers. And trust me, it would happen very quickly. And then they'd have the power to tell us what we can do, what we can't do. We all have to have digital pocketbooks. In other
That's
words,
right.
our cell phones would have to have a digital code so that each of one of us are in compliance with what WHO, the World Health Organization, says. In other words, what does this mean? It means that we lose our rights as freeborn citizens in America. Our elected leaders aren't elected anymore. They're overridden by what an international body says. And very quickly, the world slides away into global government. Jan, you and I had had this conversation earlier when we were talking about Israel. Here the United States is, the big, powerful nation, telling Israel what they can and can't do on winning a war. Well, imagine the United States being in this situation where we're attacked and an international global entity tells us, America, you have to lose your war. We can't imagine that as Americans. Every day in our life, we've grown up thinking we are the military and economic superpower of the world. We have options. You don't have options when there's an international global government, and that's what's expected to happen. So now the end of May of 2024, they'll meet again.
Right.
And it's expected that this year will be the year when they pass these various amendments to the International Health Rules and the Global Pandemic Treaty, both of which together would then empower the World Health Organization to be the decision maker over all the nations on Earth. If the 194 nations on Earth give that power over to the World Health Organization, and if the leaders of those countries are willing to carry out the dictates of the World Health Organization, well, then you've got governance of a global government. And as a matter of fact, they call for something called Council of the Parties. Very quickly, they're going to do away with the international health rules. They'll do away with the World Health Assembly. Instead, there'll be 5-10 self-appointed people, and these self-appointed people will call the shots at the World Health Organization and realize that's the healthcare arm, the United Nations. So they won't be about healthcare anymore. Now they'll be about global government. And then they will be calling the shots for all of us. That is something that the Bible anticipates prophetically. But I was there last year. Every nation was on board, including the United States, including Israel. They didn't see the threat, I think, of what this could mean.
How do you see it playing out in May?
Very likely this will pass. And then there's a period of time before it, quote, becomes law. I think it could be as quick as 10 months after they pass this in the end of May, essentially June 1st. That would be the fastest scenario when this would come into effect. It could take a few more months, more than that. So if they get their way sometime in 2025, the governance would be in place. And assuming those who are in political positions of power in the various nations, assuming they still go along with it and their citizenry hasn't rebelled, we will be under global governance. So I see it coming into fruition along about 2025. The year that we read a lot about is 2030.
2030,
when
correct.
In 2030, we will lose all freedom and we will lose our ability to do anything because all of these globalists, the World Economic Forum types, they're all saying 2030 is the year. So it'll be messy between 2025 and 2030 to get all of their ducks in a row in order to be able to deny us, because it's about denying us freedom and denying us privilege. But that's their plan. And that's when we look at Psalms 2.
Yes.
That said the nations of the world get together and they make their plans. But where is God? He's sitting upon his throne very confidently, very thoroughly, laughing, saying, this is what you thought was going to happen. Now I'm going to have my way. But that's why, again, it's so important that we never, ever cower in fear about these things that we're talking about. There's no need to, because our God loves us. He's been in love with us since he created mankind in the Garden of Eden. And until the very last word of the book of Revelation is fulfilled, his answer is his love for mankind and the world and redemption. Every act God makes is for redemption. And even now, as we're watching the nations, as we're watching the United States and the Democrat Party and our current president come against Israel, God is for Israel. His strong right arm is for Israel. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. This doesn't take him by surprise. All I know is for us as believers, we need to be in his word, on his side. We need to bless Israel and the Jewish people, and we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. As we do this, we will be blessed. So maybe our leaders are cursing Israel, but not us. We are in a posture of blessing. And God is the one who keeps the accounts for nations and for individuals. Individuals are also called to a valley of decision. And our decision is, what decision have we made about Messiah, Jesus Christ? Mm. And again, just like Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness, so too for us, as we believe in the Lord God Almighty and in his Son, Messiah, he accounts that to us as righteousness. So we have no need to fear. There is no fear for the believer because we are saved. And so we just continue to preach the good news. And as every decision that we have at our ability, whether it is to pray or to sow money into ministries that are advancing his word in our churches, we also continue to bless until he takes us home. And we can know that he is a righteous judge. He keeps just weights and measures, and he will judge us. And for those of us who know him and the power of his forgiveness, we look forward to eternity with him. There's no greater gift that we have to look forward to.
Michelle, you and I also, we rejoice in the hope of the fact that the King is coming any day, and we long for what the Bible refers to as the rapture of the church, yes. Believers taken out before that terrible time of judgment upon the earth, known yes. as the time of Jacob's
That's
trouble.
Right. That's right.
And folks, the church is not Jacob, okay? It's not the time of the church's trouble. That's why we're going to be taken out of the earth before that terrible yes. seven-year yes. ordeal. And again, our prayer and our hope, Michelle, is that more churches, referring to pastors earlier, would even be talking about this topic because it's yes. so hopeful. It's so encouraging. I think next to salvation, it's one of the most encouraging and important messages that can be coming from our pulpits today. And I'm sad to say that's a little bit on the absent side. But nonetheless, you and I encourage one another with this message that the key to it all, to this whole scenario of time as we know it winding down, we get back to that pesky nation of Israel again. Israel is the clock. Jerusalem is the minute hand. Yes. The Temple Mount is the second hand. That's where it's all focusing on as we wind history down. And that's why we've spent almost an hour talking about this today, folks, is because they are in the center of the storm and they are God's people and we are called to care and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122.
Amen. There are those who are in love with the demonic realm. There's the place called CERN.
Yes,
and they're trying,
you were there.
Yes, I was there a year ago. We went over there for a prayer mission, and we saw statues of the goddess Shiva. And Shiva is a combination of male and female. And some believe that that is the altar of Apollyon, and that upon that place, that is where the devil will come up from those gates, and that Antichrist himself may come up from that area. So on the day of the eclipse, they fired up the collider machine, and some believe that they are trying to bring forth a God particle, which is not the God of the Bible, but in fact an Antichrist. That's very close to the Goddard Tunnel, which you've spoken out before.
Goddard-based tunnel, 2016, you've heard me talk about it, one of the most demonic things we'll ever witness.
It was consecrated for the purpose of glorifying Satan. And so it's interesting that CERN is next to that, that they fired up their particle collider on the day of the recent eclipse that occurred. And some of those people think that they're trying to conjure up the Antichrist, and then the tunnel is there, and he goes into a revived Roman Empire. So that's what demonic people are trying to bring forth. That's why it's interesting to know as well, as we're looking at the prophetic timeline and what the Bible predicts the evil things that are in Satan's heart and that are in human beings' hearts. And so will that come? Yes, the Bible will be fulfilled. Every jot and tittle of the Bible would be fulfilled. But as you had said, Jan, there is no reason for us to fear because every jot and tittle of the Bible will be fulfilled yes. because the final word is for the glory of God.
Yes.
And that's where we are today, beloved. As Jan and I are here together in this studio, we are rejoicing in this beautiful spring weather and the hope of everything that is coming. And though we have to be wise as serpents, the Bible tells us, so we need to be wise to pray into the errors, the grievous errors that are being made by our government and sadly yeah. by the Democrat Party. We have to pray into that. We need to be wise when we go to the voting booth. We have time now regarding our elections and how we're going to react. We have time to speak in our churches to one another and time to have Bible studies, time to know what's going on. God has given us time, but we also realize that the hour is coming shorter. Satan knows his time is short. The Messiah, Jesus, is at the door. And so we need to understand the times so we know what to do.
Michelle, thank you for coming into the studio today. It's been a sobering hour, I'm sure many of you are thinking. Therefore, I haven't used this little outro in a long time. I think it's appropriate that I do. And it goes like this. When the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, the stone was rolled away, the clouds were parted, the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings will return. God is never early. He is never late. He's always right on time. And his plan for you is good. That's what I want you to focus on for this hour, folks. Is his plan for you is good. His plan for your eternity and your future is good. It's perfect, as a matter of fact, as long as you name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. I want to thank you for listening. We will talk to you again next week.
You are the healer, Jesus Redeemer.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries in Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. There is one who will never leave us or forsake us or betray us. Like Joshua being encouraged to complete his appointed task, Christians can also be emboldened and strengthened by the promise that the Lord will never leave or forsake them. Times may grow dark, but focus on the light of the world as we watch all things fall into place.